You're listening to the Movie Crew Podcast. Tonight we talk about Lawrence Kasdan's French Kiss.
French Kiss. Oui. Way.
You no trouble. Me, fifth element. Supreme being.
You will be a weapon. You will be a minister of death, praying for war. But until that day, you are cute. Sound off like you got a pair.
Yes, I was wondering what would break first. Your spirit or your money?
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
God is dead.
The city is headed for a disaster of biblical proportion.
What do you mean, biblical?
What he means is Old Testament, yes. Mr. Mayor. Real wrath of God type stuff.
Dead
fire and brimstone coming down from the skies. Rivers and seas boiling.
40 years of darkness, earthquakes, volcanoes, the dead rising from the grave.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
Welcome to the podcast, Movie Crew Podcast, Movie Makers Talking Movies. We're your host. I'm editor Brian Elkins. With me here tonight, cinematographer Jared Callen.
Bonjour, Brian.
Hello. I don't know French. Sorry. I took Spanish. Seem ill-prepared.
I did take French in high school. I don't remember too much about it, but my name was Luke because of this film, not because of Star Wars.
Wait, Luke?
Luke, L-U-C. It's not L-U-K-E, it's L-U-C. Luke.
And we also have with us costume designer Kristen Jones.
Hello.
Hey. And Kristen, since we're already just introduced you, you know, I have got to talk about the costumes in this because let me tell you what. I got the strongest feelings of any fucking feelings towards costumes of any movie we've ever watched.
Really? This is the film. Even though excellent costumes, I must say.
Even though Nicole Kidman is not in this.
Guys, these were terrible. What the fuck were they dressing Meg Ryan in?
Wait. You think it's terrible?
It was
I like all the costumes
terrible.
In this.
It was all
no.
baggy. And her hair was shit. Come on, Kristen, back me up on this, please.
It's early 90s. It's mid-90s.
It was the 90s, and I think they're also trying to highlight how she's not like a woman. Like the French woman is like the ideal woman, and she's not it. She's like this like very hyper, like not hyper, but she's like a very like masculine version of a woman, and like she's
masculine.
Like very neurotic. Yeah, she's wearing like big boxy clothes, and
super
she's like
baggy.
Very controlling.
Yeah.
And she's not feminine, and so she is the direct opposite of Juliet, who is in these very like tight, short, tailored outfits.
She not feminine. I think she's absolutely gorgeous and like pops, and she's still
even
very
wearing
attractive.
A collared white collared shirt like a male,
as in a foil to Juliet. I did not. She's a man. That's not. Come on, work with
okay,
me.
Yeah, you're right. And you know what? It does make it pop more when she does come out in that really like you know nice like sleek blue dress.
Right.
Like you're like holy shit, yeah.
Oh, when she's trying to get Timothy Hutton back. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, when she comes out and he puts the necklace on her, like.
Yeah, like that's the transformation is like complete. He even says that the transformation is complete. and her hair looks bad. It's the 90s. That's how her hair kind of looked. You
know? Oh, so terrible. I was like,
isn't
where
she known
is the girl?
Kind of little.
No. Like, where is Meg Ryan from? Like, where when Harry Met Sally? Like, where is that girl?
Well, that's different. That's like big 80s hair. That's different.
Don't care. Her clothes are even better. Like, her whole look is better. She's cute. In this movie, she looks like a pixie tomboy. Like, I don't know. She just looks lost and unkept.
Yeah, I think that's done on purpose. And I did think she looked good. Actually, I did like her little white button down shirt. But actually, so. that's me looking at this now. When I was younger, I hated her style. I did not understand it at all. And I can appreciate it now. And I actually think it's really funny. Speaking is what? How this movie's what, 30 years old-ish? 95? Yeah.
Yeah, 95.
30
yeah.
years old. I would say the styles have completely changed. The way she dresses is how French women dress, and the way Juliet dresses is how American women dress now, generally speaking.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, and
good for us.
Yeah, holy shit. Yeah.
Bad for France.
I'm going to the wrong parts of the country, by the way.
And I will also say her little striped shirt that Meg Ryan wears that I also hated when I was growing up. That's all everyone in France has, one of those that wear it all the time.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I've never seen an actress dress this bad in my entire life and be like the star. Have you?
I didn't think she was that bad. I didn't think she was that bad.
Oh, man.
Like, even the blue glasses, I was like, no. Like, when Jean Reno pops up in the movie, I'm like, no, those are his glasses from The Professional. Why are you wearing them, Meg Ryan? It was breaking my brain the entire time I was watching the movie.
No, I think it was just meant to show that she is so focused on external things, and she's so controlling, and she's so neurotic, and she's so OCD about like everything, that she just does not, she's not like in her body. She doesn't care about being anything about like her as a person. She doesn't care about it. And so she's going to cover her body also. I think this is the best way to do sloppy, honestly, because the way this would actually portray in real life is not this neat and not this tailored and not this clean.
You know what messed it up for me is like in the beginning of Moonstruck, the way Cher's dressed, it's like they're going for that homely look and she looks so amazing. And then in this movie, it's not. This is doing no favors.
No. Okay, I see what you're saying. She is not a cozy person. She's not going to wear cozy clothes. So, like, nothing about that would work here, though. I think the way they did it to make her standoffish, to make you not be appealed to her, I think they did it in as stylishly as they could. Because, yeah, nothing about her says approachable, you know? And that's what they were going for. And they still made it fashionable, stylish. They made it stylish, not fashionable. Yeah.
Look at your snarl on your face, Brian. It wasn't that bad.
Did not like it, man.
Listen, it's not like, I wouldn't say it's a preference. It's a choice, though. It's a style.
Yeah. What about Luke's clothes, man? I love all his like greasy fucking like all his leather and everything he's wearing. What? What the fuck?
I appreciate the word greasy. I do like his leather jackets. Those are nice.
Yeah, yeah.
It's that hair.
That's why it looks so crazy. He's got that crazy. He's got that really nice mustache, but he's still got the 5 o'clock shadow, like a thick, like 8 o'clock shadow. You know. Yeah, he's got the vibe.
That's nice. Yeah, I like the facial hair.
No, Kevin Klein is way put together, you know, in this movie better. They treat him better than they do Meg Ryan, who also produced the movie, which was, I was like, why are they doing this to this woman? What did she do? Who did she piss off?
Well, I wonder now if this is, well, hold on, because if she's the producer, then she has a huge say in this. How much of this is her personal style that she's also bringing to this?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. There's no behind the scenes of this. You can't find anything out about this movie. Except for Lawrence Kasdan was like, yes, I'll make this film because I want to take a trip to France with my family because I just got done making Wyatt Earp for 6 months and that sucked.
I mean, that's the best kind of film to make, right?
Hell yeah.
You're a filmmaker. You might as well do what you go where you want to go and do what you want to do.
So as someone who lives in France, you hear people speak French a lot, Kristen, and I'm sure they speak English to you as well. How is Kevin Klein's French accent, like speaking English?
I think it's pretty good. I mean, if you wanted it to be like more realistic, like what you would hear on the streets, he could make it, you know, much thicker, but then you wouldn't really be able to understand him in the film.
Most of the negative things that I've seen about this film are, why is Kevin Klein in this role? And his accent's terrible. And I'm like, what? It this seems like right.
Oh, wait. It feels... Are French people saying this? Because what they mean when they say that, when they say that's why they say they can't speak English because their accent is so terrible. Allegedly, in schools, it has been explained to me many, many times at least that if they have an accent, like their French accent while they're speaking English, they are told their accent is terrible and they should never speak English because they will not be understood. And so if it's a French person saying, oh, his accent's terrible, what they mean is that he has an accent. I think it sounds fine.
Yeah.
But it's also Kevin Klein. He can do no wrong in my eyes. So
I completely
might be a little biased.
I mean, it's over the top, but it's over the top in a comedic way.
It's not over the top. It is definitely not over the top. These people, their accents, I promise it's not over the top. If anything, it's toned down.
I'm the pizza guy.
Right, it's a little bit like that. Yeah, it is like that. Come on, it's just like that.
It's definitely not like that. I promise you. I promise you that's what these people sound like.
Yeah. I was like, I think this sounds about right. You know?
It sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
No. Like the bad accents, the over the top accents are the ones that he didn't overemphasize all of the Z's and all of the, like, he could have really leaned into it more if he wanted it to be like a bad French accent. I think it's great.
Yeah, I don't know why people can complain about the fucking accent. Who cares?
I think it's just they complain about it. They don't sound like that, so, or they think they don't sound like that, so.
You know, I don't know. It's a comedy. I'm okay with it. It's not like we're making like a fucking drama, you know? It's not like
if it was a drama, I think Kevin Klein would be perfect for it.
I agree. He would step up to that and he would round it down.
He's knew been exactly in dramas, what film. Right?
Yeah, of course. And like he knew what film he was making.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he's already made this film before.
The pizza guy.
And yet somehow he made it new and fresh, and I enjoy both.
Yeah.
I do like I Love You to Death just a little bit more because Kevin Klein's not on screen as much. I feel like when he's doing the over
You shut the your top, fucking
no,
mouth,
come
Brian.
On, let me finish. When he's doing the over-the-top like comedic performances, he is best served when he is limited to screen time and he has other people supporting him. So he is not on the screen the entire time doing that accent, getting on people's nerves, and you know what I mean? Like, it needs to be dulled out a little.
I don't think this is laborious. I think this is like, you know, every time he's on screen, it pops. I think all those scenes are magic, you know? I think every little scene in this movie feels right to me. None of it feels like it's hammy.
Brian, when do you think it drags? Like, when do you think he's laborious on screen?
Yeah, it's exactly right.
Well, okay, like the reason it got me thinking that is because the part of this movie that I really hate and dislike is the whole reason for the plot to exist in the first place is the Meg Ryan and Timothy Hutton. I wish that was not in this movie at all. I wish it was just Meg Ryan going to France and then she runs into Kevin Klein and they have a misadventure, you know? But the Timothy Hutton thing's in there, right? So like Meg Ryan has something to do and we don't have Kevin Klein constantly on the screen doing that accent.
I don't think that's the reason they put that. They were like, you know what? We got to have another thread in this movie. You know, we just can't have him on screen all the time doing that accent.
I do think that is some of it. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, usually when you have somebody that's like doing the big character, you know, they're usually on screen less, you know, to make them pop more when they do show up, like Alan Rickman in Robin Hood or, you know, or any Alan Rickman role. Fuck. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Potter.
Right? He pops in Harry Potter.
I don't know. I think part of the reason this movie is so enjoyable is because you have Kevin Klein there who's just dumbfounded by everything Meg Ryan does and says. That's part of the appeal of this. Or you just wanted more Meg Ryan in like cuter outfits, like, because that's a different movie.
You know, I guess I kind of wanted to watch like Meg Ryan and Kevin Klein go throughout Paris and him like show her Paris and them fall in love. That's really all I wanted to see. That's the movie I wanted.
That would be super cute. And that's not this movie. That would be great.
Yeah.
We should make another one.
I know. This movie was just, I don't know. It's a little trite. I've seen it before and nothing sticks here.
Nothing sticks? Nothing?
Nothing. No, I mean, I just watched it and I can't even, I don't think I could recall a line to you.
Really? Because I think I could recite the whole movie.
I could. I don't think I can. No.
Wait, so did you not watch this movie growing up? Because this was something that was on all the time when I was growing up. Like, this is like a childhood film for me.
Oh, yeah. I've seen this so many times just on TV.
Was it like on USA or something? Like, it was on something.
It was on HBO
all
the time. But I mean, this came out, I was already like 14 when this was out. So, yeah, this wasn't that big of a thing.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
The Meg Ryan movie I always watched on HBO was Joe versus the Volcano. That was the one that was on all the time that I saw.
Definitely seen that one a lot. But this one I've seen more for some reason.
Not that I like Joe versus the Volcano.
Is that the one with the beginning where he's like, I'm not arguing that with you. I'm not arguing that with you. I know he can get the job, but can he do the job? Harry.
Maybe.
I'm not arguing that with you. Like, you know, the guy, his boss. that one scene is excellent, where he's over making coffee. And I think that's the same movie. Yeah.
Again, not very memorable.
Okay, so is this like a Meg Ryan issue, or like, what are we talking about here?
No, I mean, I like Meg Ryan. When Harry Met Sally's great.
You've Got Mail.
I didn't like that movie. One as much.
You didn't like that one?
That one's okay.
It's okay.
Sleepless
okay.
in Seattle's better.
Yeah?
That's the better one. Okay, maybe I don't like Meg Ryan. Maybe those are the only two. Maybe those are the only two. Okay. I'm thinking about it now. I don't
there
think there's
go.
A single one.
I was going to say, because you cannot dislike this movie. Like, there has to be something else going on here.
I mean, even Inner Space, like, that's not even my favorite Joe Dante movie.
City of Angels, bro. Like,
I didn't care much for City of Angels. It was okay.
You just don't like Meg Ryan. That's what I'm seeing. That's what I'm seeing.
Yeah, well, it really tipped me off when he said he didn't like her short hair because...
Yeah.
Well, her short hair is really terrible in this. Like, what is it doing? It looks like a reversed inside-out tulip stuck on her fucking head.
Yeah, but that's how she wore her hair at the time. That's what she did.
IQ. Bad. Did you ever watch that?
Yeah, that's cute.
Yeah, that's great.
I remember that just because Walter Matthau being Albert Einstein.
Wahoo!
Yeah. I don't even... who's the guy in that? I don't even remember who that fucking
that's
actor
Tim
is.
Tim Robbins.
All right, yeah. See, look at that. That's how forgettable that shit is. That's how vanilla and blank that dude is in that movie.
I don't know, man. It's so good.
I don't know. They just, like, even this movie, it's like, every other film has done these ideas better.
What other film has done this? The plot where they go, where she, like, goes to France and learns how to just completely act differently and not care about him to get him back.
What? That's like a rom-com, like, a staple. Like, let's pretend whatever to get the man back, or like, let's go on a retreat and you pretend to be my boyfriend, I'll get you back. Like, what was that Julia Roberts movie, My Best Friend's Wedding? That was like that whole, right?
Oh, that's, I never watched that.
That's that whole rom-com plot. That's existed for fucking ever. Like, even Tootsie, like, where Dustin Hoffman's dressing up as a woman to get a part, right? And then he falls in love with the actress. Same thing.
Oh, like Mrs. Doubtfire did that too. Okay.
Right? Yeah, yeah. See?
Okay. Brian, you sound like a guy who's sitting in this corner of a fucking cafe looking at everybody going, you people make my ass twitch. My ass is twitching.
I mean, I think that may be a line from this movie, but this film's so forgettable, Jared, I wouldn't know.
When someone tells me they're happy with this film, my ass begins to twitch.
I don't even know what that means. I'm sorry. I'll let you guys spread your love around.
You can. I enjoy hearing like other perspectives because it's one that I've just never heard before. So like, I'm happy to like listen to you, Brian, if you have like legitimate complaints.
it could be. It could be just because I grew up with this and I really loved it at the time, and it like captured me. And I was like, wow, what a cute little movie. This is, you know, so great. And my young romantic heart loved this movie. And so even this time watching it, both times that I saw it, I loved every scene. You know, it was very... Oh, and this is also the first time I've ever seen it in its actual aspect ratio, which blew me away. I was like, wow, I've never seen this in 2:35:1. It was always like, you know, crop for television.
I think that that still holds some charm because it is, or it was, streaming over here. And I got multiple text messages from people saying, hey, you should watch this movie. It's super cute. so it does still hold appeal. People are still watching it.
Yeah,
it's not streaming in the United States at all. You cannot watch this movie digitally.
To find.
I know. I did search that, and everything on the internet is, hey, where can I find this movie? Because it's not streaming, I know. First of all, I'm not normally on Reddit, but Google, that's all it does now is send me to Reddit when I search on Google.
Yeah.
So anyway, I Googled it, and Reddit said that a distribution company bought it, and then they went bankrupt, and so that's why no one can find it. I don't know if that's true or not.
Really? They bought it from 20th Century Fox?
It did get picked up in an acquisition and then got stalled because of that. Yes, that is true.
Oh, okay.
Disney needs to rebuy this. Come on. This needs to be part of the family.
I know. And also because, it did really well at the box office. Like, you know, it actually, it was a minor hit for what it was.
It was all right. It had a budget of $40 million and made $102 million worldwide. So.
It's not bad for a rom-com.
I mean, what you want is a 3 multiplier on your budget, which would have put us at $120
million. It's close.
Yeah, it's close. Not, you know, nothing to sneeze at.
Hey, well, with its, Blu-ray DVD sales, and I'm sorry, probably VHS at the time, I'm sure it did really well, bro, as far as raking up on the back end, especially because of how many times I saw it.
You saw it on HBO. Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't get anything. They just pay a bro, license fee
to HBO.
They
got at least 3 pennies from me with at least the 40 times
that
I saw
it
as a kid.
That's not how HBO works. You can watch it as much as you want on HBO. They're not getting any more money. They already got their money. Fucking HBO. Oh, that was great back in the day. Man. Mm.
It was. Yeah, and if you're having a flashback like we are right now, hell yeah. We're seeing the HBO logo fly
That's
over
right.
the fucking, like, the little city.
The Beetlejuice town. Yeah.
And now your feature presentation.
We're going to look up in the stars. Oh, what? We're getting a 2001 trip. What the fuck is going on? Oh, it's the HBO logo.
Oh, we're watching French Kiss.
Well, first you got the rating. We're going to be like, peachy, mild suggestive smooching. And
the
a couple of potty words.
The presentation is rated PG.
Is it PJ?
I don't know. I just assumed it was PG. Although this one's got more of a sex scene than Moonstruck did. So, oh, no, it is PG-13. It's PG-13.
Well, good. What'd you think about that sex scene? You talking about the blue scene?
Yes.
What?
The blue scene where they're in silhouettes, yes.
Yes, and it's too fucking, like, silhouetted. Like, this whole movie is, like, overlit. It's all front side lit, except for, like, when she finally, like, puts on the dress and she comes in and now we're actually doing proper lighting and she looks gorgeous and everything's lit right. And I'm like, all right, cool, that looks great. But then we go into this fucking sex scene and it's just blue, which is fine. I don't mind you throwing on some gels. But it's just so fucking dark. And this is, we finally have our come to Jesus moment with Charlie. And, like, she's like, you know what? I there's just something I don't want anymore. And he just, like, kind of points to himself, like me. But he's in a fucking total fucking black silhouette. No, like, you're barely getting a glint in his eye. I'm like, damn.
Do you need to see the heartbreak on his face or what?
Yes, Kristen.
I like the silhouette.
I get it and all that. I just think they went a little too far on the shadow side.
It's a little much. I mean, one of the first few times that I saw this movie as a child, I had no idea what was going on. I was like, wait, who's doing what? Because you can't make anything out. And I think that's done on purpose, probably. Again, it's a choice. That I don't know if it works.
They saw Top Gun well. And they tried to replicate it and they just couldn't fucking pull it off. Mm. Like, that's exactly where my brain went. And I was like, just do what Top Gun did. Give me more Phil. Like,
that's exactly what they did.
Yeah.
Yes.
Meg Ryan's like, you know, my favorite sex scene in the last 10 years, Top Gun.
I was in that.
Not in the sex scene though, but I would like to do one like that.
Yeah, that was good. I'm going to go take a shower.
Oh, you know, it is Owen Rosman's, like, last film, though, the director of photography.
Really?
Yep. Guy that shot The Exorcist was the DP on this film. The French Connection. R.I.P. Gene Hackman.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah.
Did you hear about that, Kristen?
I did. I heard about it a few hours ago. Yes. And it was so weird because actually the story that broke it was showed a photo of him and his wife in black and white. And I was like, is this a new movie coming out? Like, what are people doing? He's dead. I don't understand.
Made it to 95, though. Good long life.
Yeah, not bad. Weird way to die. Not bad.
Did they determine the cause of death? Because last I saw it was...
No.
When your wife and your dog and you die all at the same time, apparently there were pills scattered in places.
Well, they thought it was a
gas
leak.
Oh, that's a new detail. Yeah, I heard that it was like carbon monoxide, possibly.
And one dog died, but they had three German shepherds, and only one died.
Oh.
Yeah.
One ate the pills. Okay.
I don't know.
Pills? We think they're pills?
They have no idea. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And they were in separate rooms. It wasn't like they were all in bed or anything.
Hmm. Very sad.
Trailer?
Oh, my God. Well, we're not going to cut that pause out because that was all natural, ladies and gentlemen. That's just Jared's comedic timing. So with that, we're going to play the trailer for Lawrence Kasdan's French Kiss. We'll be back. Jesus Christ.
I hate Paris, oh why do I hate Paris? Because my love is there with his slut girlfriend.
Okay, I try to understand. He has met this goddess. He breaks your heart. So you come here to Paris so that he can do it again.
Because I love him. Helping me?
Because I like you. I do. Now I can see it. There is the goddess, standing next to Charlie, in her negligee, and you are there on your knees, begging. Poor Charlie. Tough decision.
I'm gonna get him back, and I'm gonna make him love me, and we are gonna live happily ever after, because I know I will triumph.
To be this pouty little girl who says yes when she means no, and no when she means yes, and I cannot do it, okay? Happy, smile. Sad, frown. Use the corresponding face for the corresponding emotion.
Oh, I know what your problem is. You have no staying power.
What do you mean?
You can't stick it out.
What are you talking about?
It's obvious.
It is?
You are afraid of commitment.
Commitment? Oh, okay. Sorry, I thought you meant,
What? What did you think of? What did you think I was talking about?
Nothing.
Oh, this problem.
Not a problem.
I want you to make him feel that even though you are right there in front of him, he can't have you.
You seem so different.
I told myself there is no way that everything I've been building toward would be destroyed because some pouty little, and this is before I knew you personally, bitch, pardon my French, wanted to steal herself a husband.
Oh, la 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 la. Voilà. Maintenant je comprends tout.
What did he just say?
I don't know.
All right, we're back. That was a trailer for Lawrence Kasdan's French Kiss.
Made me want to watch it again, Brian. Big old smile on my face.
I have to say, I actually didn't like the trailer, but it did also make me want to watch it again because I'm like, no, I need to see like the whole thing because it's like a great movie and this did not do it justice.
It did remind me of all the chances where she missed the Eiffel Tower when she looked, and I love all that. And do you think that they timed the turning the lights off on the Eiffel Tower? Is that a composite shot, or you know, did they just happen to catch it at the right moment?
No, they actually did that for the film.
Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah, I saw an interview with Meg Ryan. I think it was like on her birthday as well.
Oh,
so
really?
It was like, yeah, it was double awesome for her.
That's awesome. That's a great shot.
I even like the Eiffel Tower in the reflection when she misses it. I think that is a super cool shot, and that's actually one of the funnier, like, comedic bits.
Well, it's weird. Like, she sees the reflection of the Eiffel Tower. She turns around. She doesn't see it. She's like, where the fuck is it? And then she turns back around, and the door opens, and it's gone. She's like, what the fuck?
She can't even see the reflection now. You don't even get that, honey. No.
Yeah, yeah. Like, oh, dude, all of that is so well done.
I will say, Cannes looks better than Paris, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that like, is it better than Paris? I would much rather go there based off this
movie. Is it better? I mean, I guess that's subjective, but I don't think there's anyone that would disagree that Cannes looks better than Paris. Yeah. Cannes is a beautiful city.
It's like right on the beach is what it looks like. It looks like you're just hanging out and drinking sea breeze. I don't even know what that is, but it sounds great.
Yeah, no, a bunch of these, all of the beachside towns are like on the beach. That's why they're called beaches. They're not like our beachside towns. No. They're like on the beach. Yeah.
And they're not tacky. That's, you know.
Tacky in what way? What do you mean? Come on.
Well, you know, in the United States, we got all the, you know, the neon lights and, you know.
Oh my God. No, I don't think that's allowed opposite. Here. I don't know that I've seen any neon lights here.
Really?
Not even bars? I assumed at bars you would see.
Maybe bars.
Or cafes.
Maybe bars. No.
What about the bibliothèque?
I don't think I've seen any neon here. Oh, I have in Spain, but not in France. I haven't. It's a big country, kind of. I mean, not.
I don't need to go to France now.
I haven't explored it fully. I don't know.
John Wick would never show up in France then. No neon. He's like, I can't kill people there.
There's also something else I remembered. I realized while watching the film is that back in the day, apparently you had lots of leg room on airplanes.
No, that's just a movie fucking set, bro. Come on.
Okay, so the opening when she's in the little like flight simulator, she leans all the way back and almost like puts her feet on the seat in front of her. Either Meg Ryan is like super tiny.
I think she is super tiny, but yes, you used to be able to lean way back because I remember the first time it happened, I thought my chair was broken because it wasn't, it only moved like half an inch. And now, yeah, that's just like normal.
Oh, dude, now we're just piled on top of each other. And I thought that maybe because it was the simulator that was a larger space. But then in the next plane, when she meets Kevin Kline and they do that wide shot when they pull out and she's like, she's fussing at him. She's like, you don't know me. Like, you know, all that shit. Like they do this like pull out shot over there. It's like, look at all this space that people have. It's just not fair, man.
That's Hollywood, man.
Oh, you're saying it's just a lie? They're like, you know what? Give them more space.
Yeah, right?
They didn't have as much space, and I appreciated like when Kevin Kline sits next to her and he's like half in her seat too, and I was like, yeah, that sounds right.
I like that he's trying to figure out where to sit, and she's like, oh fuck, of course he's coming to me.
Yeah,
got so lucky with a middle seat open. I did think it was weird that she did get a full refund for her like flight training training. There we go.
Is that what it's called? Flight fright?
I don't know. I just came up with that, and I think that's great. Okay. But but she got a full refund, even though it'd be hard to say. She got a full refund, even though that she ripped the fucking door off that thing.
It didn't work. I'm sure they had a money back. Oh, remember those money back guarantees?
Lady, you destroyed our fucking flight simulator.
Yeah, but I don't know that it would be a big deal because it's designed to come off. First of all, she has to get in and out of it. But also...
Well, it fell off the hinges is what I'm saying. And it like it was hanging by the cable.
You
yeah,
can
I'm
fix
sure.
It. It's fine. Just saying. I thought it was a great stunt when she like tumbles out of there.
Dude, she's falling down all the time.
Yes.
It's pretty great. Like I never would have thought of Meg Ryan to be like a very physical like comedian.
Well, she says in some interview that Kevin Kline like inspired her to become more physical, and it's one of the great things about like starring opposite him.
I love all of her reactions. Like her, she's just so like she wears every emotion just like instant on her face, you know. Or like every time that before, you know, she starts to fall in love with Luke. And she's like having a great moment where she's smiling, and then she looks over, and then she's like, she sees him, she's like, yeah, I love all that stuff. And she's super fucking loud when things happen, you know. She's like, lactose intolerant, you know, like.
Or when they're like walking down the little street, and she just goes, oh beautiful, wish you were here. Yeah. It's great. She's so loud, and yes, she's very expressive, and. I'm surprised more people aren't staring at her, honestly.
I did notice some in some of the crowd stuff, there were people just like staring down the lens, you know, off in the distance, you know.
That sounds right.
Yeah. According to the director, Mr. Kasdan, right?
Yes.
I watched an interview with him, and he was saying that in France, you can't shut the streets off. You can't shut everything down to film. You can only like work in your little area. So the city is alive around you. And it takes a little bit of adjusting, you know, compared to the way we would do things normally. But so it kind of makes sense why some people are just like, wow, there's Meg Ryan. She was great in Top Gun.
No, that makes sense. I've never seen the whole street shut down. They usually just like camp out on like the sidewalk, and to the point that you're like, is this a student film? Like, why? Why are you just hanging out here?
No, come on. After they'd be like, oh, there goes Meg Ryan from Sleepless in Seattle, dude. Come on. I think that was just as big of a hit as Top Gun was.
And that it was had like to be,
what,
right?
Yeah, that was like 93, right?
They're like, I'll have what you're having. when Harry Met Sally.
Yeah, when was that?
89? When did that come out?
88?
Yeah, I don't know.
88, 89, somewhere around there.
Oh, is that the hair you wanted her to have? Was the When Harry Met Sally hair?
Yeah, when they're at Cass's Deli and she's having
so much prefer that. Yeah, or even like Sleepless in Seattle. I like her with the longer hair where it's coming down to like, I don't know, bang level. Or shoulder level,
yeah,
whatever. I like that.
But
better.
That was, she didn't do that in the 90s. I don't know why. But the 90s were
short.
Really, everyone had, not everyone, but a lot of people had like super short pixie cuts in the 90s. That was like a thing.
Yeah, her and like what? Winona Ryder. Those were the big ones?
I guess I was like referring to like my everyday life. People just cut their hair off.
Oh. She had the same hair as the guy from the Goo Goo Dolls who did that song for that movie she was in.
Oh, and actually, no, I can tell you when that stopped.
True. Point noted.
Hold on. Because it was in like the early, late 90s, early aughts when Felicity cut her hair. And that was when, like, Hollywood was like, no one's allowed to cut their hair anymore.
Wait, Felicity?
Yeah. Do you remember? I don't know if that's the actress or the TV show. I don't remember. But she cut her hair and did the pixie
cut. That's the TV show, right?
Yeah, super normal, and a lot of people did it in the 90s. And that was when Hollywood was like, no one's allowed to do this anymore.
Huh.
And I don't think anyone's cut their hair since. Not short anyway. Yeah, you have to get, after that, you have to get permission to cut your hair.
Okay, so the problem with Meg Ryan's hair, though, in this movie is, like, her hairstyle with the short hair.
The way they, like, gelled it up and, like, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but it's not like that the whole time. It starts out like that because she's fucking disheveled and shit. And then as she falls more into, you know, becoming who she is now, like, her hair kind of cleans up a little bit and it gets a little more, like...
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, I actually don't like the way they did her hair at the end where like they put gel in it and like you can tell they did style it. But I think it looks ugly. I hate that. I mean, I'm not a fan of her hair, I guess in the 90s, but like I thought this is what it looked like. So I was but at the end they like yeah, they like make it stick up and it's like in clumps. What did you say? It looked like a petal, like a tulip or something. Like I can see that. Like
yeah.
For sure.
When did you lose your flower?
It's like this. And what was that Matthew Broderick movie she was in? She also had hair like that. It was really bad. Addicted to Love or something like that.
I think the hairstylist did what she could with what was available.
She didn't try at all.
I mean, because the only alternative would be to get her a wig. And I don't think she wanted to wear one.
Definitely not. I think it's very interesting that the film that she just released in 2023 that they shot in North Arkansas has the same fucking album. I mean, the same, like, poster as this.
So she's two characters sitting on a bench.
Sitting on a bench, yeah.
Oh, wait, that's that David Duchovny movie, right?
It is, yeah.
What's the name of that?
What Happens Later. But they're swapped, you know, on the French Kiss poster. She's on the left, and then now she's on the right. You know, they couldn't be exactly the same, but it's the same fucking poster.
My wife and I actually kind of want to watch that.
Oh, I want to see it. Yeah, definitely. She directed that one.
Meg Ryan directed that?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. I'll watch it.
Oh, we just sold you. There it is. I think it's her first directorial movie. Let's see.
It's got to be, right? Man, you guys seen some of the movies she's produced outside of this one? They are all over the fucking place. Like, things you would not think of. Like, I saw she
French
did that.
Kiss.
That was her first one. And then she produced the horror movie Lost Souls, which was Janusz Kaminski, Spielberg's cinematographer. That was his directorial debut. Hmm.
She executive produced The Wedding Planner, but uncredited.
Right?
That's interesting. Yeah. Yeah, she did Northern Lights as well. Yeah, but yeah, she obviously produced What Happens Later, which is, yes, that is, it says she's directed two things. Let's see. So before she did that, she did Ithaca.
What the hell was that title?
Ithaca.
Oh, I thought you said Ithaca. I was like, what kind of fantasy? Is that animated?
It's an iffy world. Oh, I thought it was about the town in New York. No?
It is, right?
It's a wartime 1942 with his older brother off to war. 14-year-old telegram messenger Homer McCauley comes of age in the summer of 1942.
Hmm. Sounds
enthralling. Yes.
All right. Since we're talking about Meg Ryan.
Obviously.
We haven't talked much about 90s rom-coms, okay? So, of the actresses that were huge in the 90s that were making rom-coms.
Right.
Is Meg Ryan better than Julia Roberts?
Ooh. Like, as a person?
No, as an actress. I'm talking, or like, I don't know, or movies, actress, yeah, either one.
I gotta look at Julia Roberts'
Yeah, give me some titles for Julia Roberts.
Well, I mean, just think about the big ones that come out. Pretty Woman. Yeah.
Erin Brockovich, Closer, and August Osage County.
I was thinking about just the ones in the 90s. Like, just hit there.
Those aren't rom-coms.
Yeah. Well, those weren't in the 90s. Once you get out of Julia Roberts, like My Best Friend's Wedding and Pretty Woman. Those are the big Julia Roberts 90s rom-coms, right?
Pretty Woman, Sleeping with the Enemy.
Notting Hill. Although that may be...
I'm going to go with Meg Ryan.
Something to Talk About.
What about Sandra Bullock?
Oh, conspiracy theory.
Right?
Notting Hill, we loved that.
Sandra Bullock blew up in the 90s. What was that one with the guy in the coma? While You Were Sleeping? That one's pretty... Yeah, with Bill Pullman, not bad. Love Potion Number 9.
I'm going to stick with Meg Ryan.
I'm still sticking with Meg Ryan. Yeah.
All right.
Well, and also because the other, I loved this movie. And also, I know didn't she do the voice for Anastasia? That was one
of
my favorites too.
She did.
All right. What about Cameron Diaz?
Nah, Meg Ryan.
Wait, what rom-coms was she in?
She was in The Mask. She was in there, yeah, Something About Mary.
Charlie's Angels.
That's not a comedy. What was that other?
Yes, it is.
It's not a rom-com. It's just an action comedy.
yes.
What's the one she did with fucking Ewan McGregor? A Life Less Ordinary? Is that the name of it?
Yeah. No one's ever seen that Ewan McGregor movie.
Yeah, I've never heard of it.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm going to stick with Meg Ryan. And did Nicole Kidman do any rom-coms? Because I feel like she would be a contender.
I can't think of any in the 90s.
Oh, okay. Well, then I guess Meg Ryan.
What about Jennifer Anderson? She wasn't.
Who is Jennifer Anderson?
Not Anderson, Aniston.
Oh.
I never.
She was 2000s though, right?
Got on board with her.
Like Pitch Perfect in the 90s. What was that other one? Object of My Affection or something affection.
Infection.
It is Infection. I wish it was. Man, that sounds like a better movie already.
Let's see. I'm looking for something big in the 90s with her, and there's not one, bro. 97, Till There Was You.
No.
Yep.
You're not looking at
it. She was a 2000s girl, bro. Yeah. Along Came Polly, The Breakup, fucking Rumor Has It, Bruce Almighty. All of that's 2000s.
Yeah, what about her movies before that?
Nothing.
No? 1997. Picture Perfect.
One.
1998, The Object of My Affection.
Still Meg Ryan.
Is there only one? I'm looking at a list. I like Julia Stiles. She's on this list.
I was thinking about her, but the only one she's got is 10 Things I Hate About You, right?
Yeah, that's why I almost didn't say her. Alicia Silverstone was cute.
Alicia Silverstone. Yeah, Clueless, XX Baggage. What else she do? That's all I can think of, though, those two.
Oh, for rom-com? Yeah. Oh, she did Blast from the Past.
Oh!
And
that was
cute.
That was great.
I like Alicia Silverstone. And this wasn't rom-com, but she did that one, like, horror, like, where she's the babysitter. Did you guys see
Crush.
That one?
The Crush.
The Crush,
the Crush,
yeah, that was good.
Yeah. Ooh, that one was good, too. Jennifer Love Hewitt. Let's start throwing all these girls out there.
No. No. Yeah.
She just had that one horror franchise.
Yeah.
Oh, I liked her in that one movie, but I wouldn't
Can't
say she
Can't Hardly Wait.
Can't Hardly Wait.
Oh, I was going to say, isn't she in She's All That? She's All That?
She may be in a small part. She's not the main girl, though. That's that.
Who's the main girl?
It's not Amanda Bynes, is it?
Evan Cook, okay. Or... Rachel. No. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Rachel Evan Cook.
Is that her name?
I don't know.
Like when they have three names, bro, it's hard to remember the order.
Yeah, unless you kill somebody, you can't really remember somebody's third name.
It's like Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Levitt Gordon. I don't, you know.
Well, that one's easy. Yeah.
Is it easy?
Yeah, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Oh. Well, wait. See, you was there, you just didn't believe in yourself.
I never do.
Do you think it's weird
Rachel Lee Cook. Rachel Lee Cook. Holy shit, we were way off.
We got the Rachel part right.
Well, you were thinking of the chick who's in Westworld.
Wait,
who's... Stop it! It's too many... three named people we don't know.
This is great podcasting. do you think it's weird that when like he's trying to get the necklace out of the purse on the train and they start kissing and she's asleep and she goes, Charlie, and then she fucking opens her eyes and looks at him? Isn't that weird?
I think the whole scene is weird.
Yeah.
And they make out? Especially...
Yeah, well, but then it's never brought up between them, even though she fucking looked at him.
But I think the implication is that she's half asleep and she doesn't, yeah, like,
she's not fucked
him.
Up. She's not, like, it kind of makes sense that she blacks out a little bit on the fucking airplane because she had two shots of vodka. And then, so she's asleep when they land, which is very rare because when that fucking plane lands, you're awake. You know, and he has time to put the plant in the thing. But later on, when that happens, I'm like, she's totally just, she's that tired. She's just groggy enough that you could, like, be kissing like that and she looks you dead in the fucking face.
Well, I don't forget that she has been traveling. She's jet lagged and she's probably cold because they don't have heating and nothing is going right. She's walking everywhere. So she's probably, like, she might not be fucked up, but she is probably fucked up. Yes. Mm. And also his face is right there. So it's not like she's looking at all of it.
He's got this big fucking stubbly beard and
she's probably like, just only
like
seeing
his fucking like bad breath. On
probably
his face.
Just looking at his eyes. She's probably just looking at his eyes. But the whole thing is weird where he's like he sticks his arm into the backpack that she's laying on top of, like she would feel that. And is like rummaging around while being so close to her. It is a strange scene. And then yes, the kiss is bizarre. I know they have to so that you are like, oh, now he's falling for her because this is the first time that he looks at her differently, or what?
Yeah, well, there's that moment after they kiss and she leans back and he kind of like settles on the ground there for a minute and he's like, oh, all right, that was kind of odd. Holy shit, I got away with that.
I did enjoy the part where he goes home and you get to see another side of him.
My family hates me, everybody. They don't be around. Yes. Papa! Like, everybody's like, ah! You know? I love all of that. Actually, my favorite scene in the movie is when they're in his childhood bedroom and he breaks out this fucking box and they do this thing where you smell different like herbs and things and it can like help you identify things in wine. Very, very interesting. I've always wanted to try that. That's something that's like whenever I think about this movie, I even brought it up to Brian. We're gonna do that movie. It has this really great fucking scene where this happens. Brian's like, I don't remember that fucking scene. Like that scene is like
that's he's
burned
cranky.
Into
What? I didn't remember that scene.
No, it's a great scene. And you can do that. I have taken a couple of wine classes where you do that. And you,
really?
Yeah, it's really cool because you can definitely pick things out in the wine. Yes.
I need to go do a wine class.
I mean, just make sure that like it's a good one and they have that.
Yeah. It's called the French Kiss wine.
Because otherwise they're like, you know, if you get like a bad one, and of course, I guess this is all relative, they just give you wine and you drink it.
It doesn't sound too bad.
Just don't expect really me to spit it out. You're not tasting it anymore. You're just drinking wine.
Yeah, I'm not doing the like, you know, well, and then spit it in the fucking cup, you know. No, we're drinking this shit.
How's he like?
Yeah. What are you doing over there, Brian? Fester, fester, fester. Rot, rot, rot.
Nothing, man.
It's festering.
I don't have anything else left to say about this movie.
Brian, did you know that the pout is one of the French women's greatest weapons?
I did hear that. From this film.
My last little, like, odd thing. They're trying to pin something on Luke to have the cops go after him, you know? And then the other thief tells Jean Reno that there's a stolen necklace, right? And he's like, okay, cool, let's go get him. How does he, like, there's no, like, is this necklace, has it been reported stolen? How do they even know what case that this necklace goes for? Why is Cartier going to buy a stolen necklace? Was it stolen from Cartier? We never set any of that up. All that feels a little weird to me now that I've actually watched it.
Oh, I think it's sort of implied that, you know, they know he just came back on this flight, so they know where he's been. And if there is a stolen necklace, it would not be difficult to call. Where was he? Toronto? I don't know. Wherever they were.
Toronto.
I doubt there's, like, more than one. I don't know. Like, to see, to call the police department, see if there's a big, like, diamond theft in the area. I doubt there would be, like, multiple diamond heists, you know? I think that is the least worrisome.
Yeah, I know. You just got to do a little headcanon to kind of make that work. You're like, all right.
I don't know.
It just seems too easy.
The part that always bothered me that never worked is that when she does the reveal with the necklace and it reveals that she's wearing it.
You can see it.
In the scene previously where he searches her bag and it's not there and it's assumed she's already wearing it, she has unbuttoned her shirt, so you would see the necklace. Oh, is it? But and then she puts it on at the train station? Like,
yeah, because she's going to finally reveal it because it's a fucking choker and you can even see it before she does it. Like, you know, the scene's coming on the second viewing, so you can see it before she even does it. Like, you know, she's buttoned all the way up like she was at the beginning of the movie. He even points it out at the beginning of the movie that she's all buttoned up. And then as the movie goes, it becomes less unbuttoned.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is another standard thing.
Letting my hair down.
Yeah, exactly. Except she doesn't have any hair, so they have to do with clothes.
Damn it. I was that close right behind you, Kristen. Girl was on top of it with that one. All right. Are we at ratings now?
Sure, Brian.
All right. Who's going first? Who's rating this French kiss?
I'll go first just to set the tone. I want you to love this movie, Brian. You know, like, that's all I ask. You know, it's just, I want you. No, man, this movie has so much nostalgia for me. I love this movie. I love all of the scenes. I love the quirkiness. I think it's fucking beautiful, even though it's mostly front lit. But yeah, man, I think it moves really well for being almost, you know, like for being almost 2 hours. I never really get bored in it. I love all the characters and I love the dialogue. I love the way that Meg Ryan delivers her lines. Her deliveries are so good. Yeah, man. I even love the music. I love all the needle drops. When they hit, they just feel fucking right. That when that shot when fucking like Luke is driving off with that guy's fucking bike. And the it's wonderful. They're playing that song. The dude's chasing. All those scenes just hit for me. So yeah, this is a may not be a perfect movie, but it's a nostalgic 10 for me.
Nostalgic 10. All right, Kristen, you want to go next? Or you want to go last?
Yeah, I can go next. Yeah, this movie is fantastic, and there's a lot of like little things that could make it a lot better. But overall, I think the acting is great. The story is great. We're here for a journey and it doesn't miss, really. It's absolutely fantastic. And so I was gonna give it a point off for, you know, just the general way it looks, but I'll give it a 10. It's 10. It's 10. It's fantastic.
10. Wow. 2 10s.
Yes.
Wow. I don't know what to say. I super love Lawrence Kasdan. He is one of my favorite writer-directors. This is my least favorite of his films. The movie's not bad. It's just very mediocre. You know, it's not the worst thing of anything ever. Every moment you're watching, you're never like, oh, this is, you know, the worst, except for maybe Meg Ryan's outfits. But everything else, it's just like, it's fine, but it's never the best or even comes close to being, like, I don't know, memorable to me. This is the movie, I guess, you watch after you've already seen, you know, Sleepless in Seattle. You've already seen When Harry Met Sally. You know, you already watched Dave and I Love You to Death. And you're like, man, I just want something with these two people in it. I guess the main thing, story-wise, is the Timothy Hutton, her trying to get this guy back. That whole story is super fucking boring. It's boring. I just don't like it. And every time that it's just Meg Ryan and Kevin Kline on screen, I think the movie is really soaring. Everything feels really good. Again, it's just not great. So I don't know. I'm gonna give it a 7. You know,
ugh.
It's what? That's fine. A 7 is good. What are you talking about? Ugh. You think this is better than a fucking 7, Jared? Get the fuck out of here. This is not better than a 7. If when Harry Met Sally is Sally's a 10, then this is definitely, yeah, this feels, actually, this would feel better as a 5, because this is half as good as that, if not worse. So, I mean, you know.
We need to watch When Harry Met Sally next.
Yeah, I can add it to the list.
Yeah. I don't really agree with this review here, but French Kiss is effervescent like good champagne, but its spirit fizzles in a film that isn't as intoxicating as its stars. Rotten Tomatoes brings French Kiss in with a 48% tomato meter and a 75% popcorn meter, right in line with Young Brian.
I felt the force on this one, right? So with that, you've been listening to the Movie Crew Podcast. If you want to get in touch with us, you can do so by sending us an email to moviecrewpod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Movie Crew Pod. Jared, where can the audience follow you, sir?
You can follow me on Instagram at Check the Gate.
Kristen, where can they follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram at Kristen Magdalene. That's Kristen with a K and an I.
And you can follow me on X at Elkins Edits. And we're going to close out the show tonight with... we're going to play the track titled The Kiss. And this is from composer James Newton Howard. Enjoy.